This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Run Radio presents The Voluntary Reaction. You've watched the game. Now, let's talk about it. To get on board, call 865-546-8200. This is The Voluntary Reaction. Raw, unfiltered, real. The Voluntary Reaction starts now.
Yeah. Hello, welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. This is the Voluntary Reaction. I am Davey Hudson. I will be joined momentarily by Russell Smith and the Bear. The game's still going. The fact that we're having to start and the game is still going on just shows you how bad of a game it actually was. It's frustrating. There's like 10 seconds left. We're at the line. It's not really... It doesn't even matter at this point, but here we are. I understand a lot of people tuning in right now are probably wanting to focus more on football today than they are basketball. We'll make sure to get you plenty of both, because right now, I mean, this Tennessee sports, man, it's the, should I say, the gift that keeps on giving? I don't know. But here we are. Vols have now dropped two straight. And Russell, Bear, do I have you boys here? Hold on 1 second. Yep, I got the music down. We're running, you know, running the cameras, everything over here. You know, you get it going, but Russell, what was that?
Well, at least somebody's giving effort in this town tonight. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for acting like you care. Thanks for showing a little heart, a little guts. A little character. What the hell happened to our basketball team, man? This was supposed to be the year. This was supposed to be the year. We're supposed to be going dancing. We're supposed to be going to the Final Four. And now all of a sudden, we can't dribble and chew gum. We have no passion out there. No joy. Everybody's walking around slumped over. Their shoulders are slumped. They look miserable out there. And guess what? I'm miserable watching it. Listen, man. Somebody step up and take control of this team. Somebody grab a hold of this thing. Somebody act like you care out there, or I'm just going to check out. Nobody wants to watch that. That was unwatchable, Davey. Unwatchable. Two games in a row now.
Russell, I was fortunate. I missed most of the first half. And I'm grateful that I did.
You missed nothing.
So.
You missed nothing. I mean, it's just... And you see it in flashes, like we turned it on in the last 10 minutes of the first half, and we made little jibs and jabs at them throughout the game, but we just can't sustain. I don't know what's going on right now. And here's the thing that's frustrating about it is we can go and look, and Davey, you're a huge basketball guy, so you know this. Basketball and like football, long season, right? And even this in this shortened season, we're still going to play over 20 games. So they can't all be A-plus efforts. You're going to have games where you have to grind it out. You're going to have games you lose. And you could look at the Florida game and say, all right, well, that's the first time we just didn't look good for an entire ball game. Like, it just, it happens. You have some stinkers. We can't say that anymore because it's two in a row now, and it's 40 minutes where we've looked like hell out there. Missouri sucks, man. They're terrible. Florida's not much better. And that wasn't even a great Florida team that we played. They were missing three of their better players. So I look at this, something happened. And I said this after the Florida game, and people are like, what are you talking about? You know something. Something happened in the locker room. Something happened. We got players hating. I don't know. I don't have any insight. I'm just telling you, I can see it. This team, they've lost their joy. And it wasn't like, because of the Florida game, they looked that way before the Florida game. From the start, we look lost out there, bewildered. We've lost our mojo right now, and it's virtually unwatchable. I mean, this is like what we've been playing the last 80 minutes. It's like Conzo ball, Buzz ball, and Kevin O'Neill, and a little bit of Wade Houston, dash of Wade the Fade, all wrapped up into one. And it's so disappointing because of the expectations coming into the season and the feeling through the first 10 games or so, which was, wow, we are going to win a conference championship. We might win the SEC tournament for the first time in my lifetime. I'm freaking 40. If they have it this year, we're going to be a high seed. We were a 2 seed in the last bracketology last week, and we're going to make the deepest run. This is maybe the best team we've ever had. Maybe the best team in school history, including the 30-win team a couple of years ago, because we have better, guys with more NBA potential on this roster. And right now, I think every Tennessee basketball fan is just wondering, man, are we even going to have a winning record in conference play right now? Let's bring Bear in here. Bear, did you watch that tonight? Are we dreaming right now? What did we just watch?
I mean, I'll be honest, I kind of did. It's been on the whole time, but I was kind of, I'll admit it. I kind of slept through some of it. It was boring.
Lucky you.
Kind of like our team, evidently. Yeah.
We ain't got dick without Jaden Springer. I mean, let's be honest. That's what's been missing since we left.
That's it.
Something. It's not helping, dude, but it's something else.
I'm sorry, guys, but you know, one thing is missing since we look like a normal team, and that's Springer. You can go back and look at it.
He was out for the Texas A&M game last week, right? And we ran them on the road.
He wasn't out for that whole – was he? Was he out that whole game?
Yeah, but, Bear, I mean, early on, like, it took him a little bit to get coming as far as, like, along with the system. But, no, but if you just watch all the rest of the players, they just don't – they don't have it. Like, Jaden Springer's not why we're turning the ball over 10 times in the first 10 minutes.
We don't have a point guard. He's it. Muscovy's not a point guard. I've been saying that since summer. Nobody can run the offense when he's not on the floor.
He wasn't running the offense the first half of the season.
Yeah, and we were getting by. Everybody was rusty, but
getting by. You're running teams.
All right. Basketball geniuses. All I know is fucking Jaden Springer's not on the floor. And our offense looks like shit.
It's going to be one of those shows.
Well, I mean, they look completely lackadaisical.
Look, man, not having Springer out there, yeah, that's hurts.
That's a major problem right now.
And getting him back is obviously going to help, but that doesn't account for the awful body language that we've displayed 2 games in a row right now. The lack of production from our upperclassmen. Eve Pons, I look at him tonight, and he was our best player out there. He had 20 points and 5 rebounds. When I say the guy looks miserable out there, I mean he looks like he's at like a funeral, right? I mean there's something else going on with this basketball team, and maybe we'll
Barnes running him too damn hard. I mean, is he doing the deal where he just grinds them in practice again?
Well, I heard after the Florida game, they didn't practice with a ball, if that tells you anything.
Well, he went full Norman Dale on him?
I don't know if he went that hard, but I heard it was pretty rough.
Huh. Well, maybe he is. The guy's getting paid $5 million a year. Whatever button he's pressing, it's not working. And I think it's fair to be critical. Look, nobody's calling for his head or anything. We've got a fine basketball coach, but what we've seen this week,
another button to push.
What we've seen this week is flat out unacceptable. And look, this Missouri team again. I don't think they're anything to write home about. We had basically two guys just torch us tonight, Xavier Pinson and Drew Smith. And then we just kind of defining moment of the game to me, guys, last minute of the first half, Tillman just takes Pons and basically body slams him, man. I mean, he just forearm shivered him, threw him to the ground. And yeah, it was a foul. It should have been called. Barnes loses his mind. That's Konzo Martin basketball, though, man. When we talk about a lack of toughness on this roster, get up and slap the guy in the face. Act like you want to win. Act like it means to show some fight, man. That's all this fan base wants. Show a little fight. Act like you care. We got guys who are just cowering from the moment right now. We are literally cowering from the moment. Nobody will step in and take charge and assert themselves. And it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating. All right, voluntary reaction off and running late on a Saturday night in Big Orange Country. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. Davey will greet you as you call in tonight. They're already lining up. And let's go ahead and get McLean, who's been, I mean, the guy's been on hold since before the game ended, since before the show began. My man is probably fired up, I'm guessing. McLean, you're on voluntary reaction. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. I just needed to turn it off. It was about to throw the phone through the window time watching the end of that performance. I've got to ask everybody, do we think that our team looks like we're in a hostage situation right now?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great way of putting it, McLean. Basketball, I understand football, you don't see a lot of guys smiling and everything. It's a violent game, head on a swivel. You could get knocked out at any minute. This is hoops, man. You're running. You're talking smack. You're supposed to be having fun and everything. I know we're a disciplined old school team, but you can tell just by looking at our guys. Like that, I think that's a big part of why it's so hard to watch it, because they look so miserable. And, you know, we're a part, as a fan, you feel a part of the team. That's why we say we when we discuss the team. And it's like, man, we feel the way they look, which, again, is just miserable right now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, obviously a terrible start tonight. But, I mean, I don't think a player on our team smiled the entire game. The only smile I saw was Kim English in a Missouri uniform when those terrible commentators were going over his career as a player. It was horrible.
Oh, man.
The big thing, Bear, I agree with you. We had 19 turnovers, I believe, in the last two games. Is Springer not only our most important player, is he our best player?
Yeah. In my opinion, without a doubt. He's the best, yeah.
I mean, I'd have to think so. He's been out five halves, and we're 0-3 in those games, and we're 10-0 winning by, like, 20 points a game when he's in. I mean,
we look like a Catholic Youth League team without him. I've never seen anything like this. I never thought in a million years I'd see a Barnes team with their shoulders. As soon as I saw that shoulder slumping bullshit, that's when I turned the sound almost all the way down and just, you know, set an alarm. And I mean, if they're not interested, I mean, you know, Russ is right. That was a dash of Wade. What'd you call it, Russ? What do you call it?
Wade the Fade.
Wade the Fade ball thrown. I mean, for people that are my age, guys, I mean, that's how we used to watch Tennessee basketball. It was just on in the background.
Hey, man, McLean, if they're just going to throw Eve Pons to the floor, our biggest, baddest dude, supposedly, and we're just going to get up and take it, not do anything, not show any emotion, not show any fight, not show any anger, not show any spirit, and Rick Barnes is just going to bitch out the refs and nothing's really going to come of it, then how about this? How about we put Urosh in the damn game and tell him to put his freaking Serbian elbow through the back of somebody's skull? I mean, let's light a fire
under
somebody.
About.
Let's go.
The only positive play in the entire second half was Victor Bailey going with a full Mayweather on that guy, and then the announcers acted like he needed to be taken to the emergency room at the White House, the safe room. At least he showed some fight and attempted to block the shot, and they were acting like, you know, he, he threw him out of the arena or something. But the only other question I've got, I mean, you all are right. There's people at the T-Rex and the local Y having more fun than our team just playing with buddies from high school. But on football, not to distract from tonight's performance, just wondering what y'all think after some of the reports. It appears we're conducting a competent search. What do y'all think is floor and, like, home run higher ceiling for us right now? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys. Go Vols.
Thank you, McClain. Appreciate it. You want to go ahead and turn an already heated addition to the voluntary reaction into a complete all-out free-for-all and a brawl. Listen,
I don't think anybody knows shit right now because this guy's got it on lockdown.
They're doing a good job,
man. I'm not paying attention to any of these damn names. Everybody's going to have to be patient.
Yeah, I do think they're going after Matt Campbell. I don't think they're going to get him, but I do think that is somebody that Danny White is looking at.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of things that I trust, not to the point where I'm going to quote unquote report it and lock it in, but I do think Danny White has had some conversations. I do think he made a quick trip out of town to the Atlanta area earlier today and got back for the ball game, obviously. And I do think he has some interviews scheduled tomorrow. But, here's the thing, man. In sales, we call it managing the customer's expectations. We just went 3-7. It's our third losing season in the past 4 years. Our roster is depleted. We play in the hardest conference in America.
We play Alabama twice.
An in-state recruiting base that is light relative to our biggest rivals. Kentucky, Missouri, and South Carolina have all had a better decade than we have. And on top of it all, we're now staring down the barrel of an NCAA investigation and likely significant, if not major, sanctions, which is a problem too because that the uncertainty, we don't know how bad it's going to be. The point is, let's have some self-awareness here. They're not trotting Bob Stoops or Chris Peterson out there, so stop it. Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze are off the table, whether you think they should be or not. I mean, Plowman basically said that, and Danny White basically said that publicly. Matt Campbell is not coming here. By all means, ask him, but he's waiting on a Big Ten job. Billy Napier reportedly is not interested. He's waiting on LSU or Florida. Guys, we're going to have to be realistic about this thing. I know Twitter doesn't want to hear that, but that's the truth. The report today from John Bryce, who seems as plugged in as anybody on this deal, the three
John
guys.
John Bryce, go to hell, Russ. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I saw the name.
Before you continue, I would like to go ahead and get Bear's floor and ceiling before you continue, because I think you're about to set him off before you give your answer, Russ.
Well, let me just say the three names, because I can summarize this quickly. The three names that Bryce threw out there are Tony Elliott and Sonny Dykes, who have been reported elsewhere, and then P.J. Fleck, who, I mean, that's the first time we've heard his name bandied about. So that's where we are.
I'd be okay with one out of those three. I could talk myself into it.
Is the one you could talk yourself into, Tony?
What?
Is Tony the one you could talk yourself into?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and we could debate all three in depth as we go along here, but my point is, guys, this is the pool we're fishing out of. Going to be somebody like that. And we can throw Jamie Chadwell in there. Apparently he has not been vetted, has not gotten a call yet. So
that's not surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's better than all three of those options that Bryce has put out there.
Yeah. But I kind of put him over more towards the Kiffin and Freeze pool, just simply because of whether, you know, and I'll acknowledge that it's not like he was running a renegade program at Charleston Southern, but Charleston Southern, while he was the head football coach, vacated wins and had football players involved. And I still don't know exactly what the scandal was on that deal.
We can unpack this a little bit more. Let's keep talking basketball for a minute here. It is Voluntary Reaction, after all. We just had a disaster of a basketball loss. Let's have a little bit of postmortem before we start yelling and screaming about football. Nathan is up next on Voluntary Reaction. Hello, Nathan.
Nathan.
Nathan, you with us? Nathan going once. Nathan going twice.
I think I can hear him in the background. I don't know if he...
Nathan, pick up your phone. Pick up your phone. Nathan's deader than Tennessee basketball. Guys, what happened to our program? Who broke
Nathan, But I mean, maybe it's me.
Oh, there he is.
Say, we got Mason?
You now, Nathan. Go ahead. Hey, what's up, buddy?
No. Well, it's Mason, M-A-S-O-N, but it's all good though.
Sounded like Nathan on the phone. I will take responsibility, but we got you here, so that's the important thing.
It's all good. Yeah, and I wasn't paying attention, so I'll take some of the credit too. Sorry, Tennessee basketball had me a little snoozing tonight. So sorry. I guess two things is one, like y'all said, we don't care. We're just going through the motions. Like I thought. I mean, if nothing else, getting beat by 30 at Florida against your supposed to be rival, if we're talking about basketball, and we just hate him, obviously. So I don't know why we're not like giving a damn or giving effort, or why can't Barnes obviously get effort out of him? Maybe it's because he's running them too much. I mean, I didn't know that, like what Davey said about like the last after the Florida game. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me because we've heard that in the past that he's not just necessarily ever forgiving, and there's never burned the tape. He definitely makes them remember the next couple of days after a game. Well, how the result of was the last game, but what's wrong? What's wrong with Folky? I mean, we can't get him going. He looks lost. He looks gangly. He looks like before the elbow injury again, like Folky. And I don't know what it is. So I'll just hang up and listen about those two things. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Mason. Thank you. We appreciate the phone call tonight. Oh, man.
Did you see what the basketball team just tweeted out, Russell?
Oh, no.
They said, this is Vol Hoops. I guess this is one of those times where you text a buddy.
Yeah. Pretty funny to me. I saw it.
It's pretty funny. I like it. Whatever. Folky lost it. He's Samson. He cut his hair. And now he's lost his power. I don't know who Powell's is Delilah in this analogy, I suppose. He's not the same guy that he was at the end of last season. I mean, that's that much is obvious. 7 points, 6 rebounds tonight in 26 minutes. And for it feels like at least the second or third game in a row, you know, picks up that second foul pretty early in the first half and rides the bench, can't get into a groove. Barnes is in his head, I think. He's not the same guy. The book, the scouting report, I think, is out on him a little bit. He gets the ball in the post. He's very easy to push off the block. My thing is, and I could say this not just for him, but for a lot of guys, and listen, Rick Barnes forgot more basketball than I'll ever know, but it seems like we whip the ball around a lot. We have a lot of good movement, but then once the ball gets to a post guy, it gets stuck. It's like, I got the ball, and I'm just going to sit here, wait for the defense, get it and go. Get the ball and put it up. Shoot it immediately. Like, he's not big enough to back anybody down or throw his weight around or anything like that. He's got to use quickness and the, you know, guile and old man basketball to get it up there. And it doesn't feel like that's, doesn't feel like he has any confidence right now. And I guess that's kind of the deal with our entire team. Anybody thoughts on Fulkerson?
Yeah, I don't know, man. He doesn't look like the same player. They seem to all be suffering from some kind of malaise right now. And it's so weird to see this team act this way after, you know, the Admiral and Grant team. You know, they always
even last year
tough.
Towards the end of the season had more spunk to it. And this team at the beginning of the season, Davey, what do you think about Mason's call that, you know, Barnes maybe just riding these guys too hard? I know he's old school. I mean, he's not going to give the team the day off and take them out for lollipops or anything like that. What do you do?
I know there Rick's had those issues in the past, but there was a time where this was at Texas that he kind of had this come to moment, and it's never been as bad. And I don't know if he's just gotten frustrated with them for some of these things that are probably minor fixes, but he's probably been on them so often to guys like, this is not hard to fix, do it. And it just doesn't get corrected. And then he just decides to go hard on them. I don't understand why they have played so lackadaisical. The effort has just been very, very limited when you look at it compared to how they've been playing throughout the early part of this year. And just the teams, I mean, I know last year wasn't great, but I never thought it was an effort problem like we're seeing now. Cause like last year it was okay, there's definitely a talent differential that we're lacking compared to a lot of the other teams, but we know we're more talented than most of these teams we're going up against. I mean, hell, you saw what we did to them last time we played them at Missouri. We beat them by 20. And yeah. I mean, there might be some validity to the statement that he's just running them too hard. Again, like I know I heard that, but I mean, they've had Saturday. So that would have been, we play Florida Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
So, I mean, they should have been recovered, even if he took it pretty hard with them. I don't know. That's what's the most frustrating part is it's like usually we're able to diagnose these things and kind of see what the problem is, but I don't even think they know what the problem is, and that's an issue, and that's what concerns me moving forward.
Maybe it's a thing where one of the younger assistants, a Kim English, a Mike Schwartz, or any of them, Des Oliver, pulls Barnes aside. I mean, this is why he pays them, right? You know, if they see something that not riding them too hard, you know, these guys are good athletes. I don't think that their legs are shot or anything, but I think that Barnes is a pretty intense guy, right? And it's been a long year for a lot of these guys already, the school year. It's been so different than anything anybody's ever imagined. And maybe a lighter touch would help. And I realize that I'm talking out both sides of my mouth here, right? Because we talk about this as being a soft team and then they need, I don't know. Do you coddle them? Do you double it down and challenge somebody, say, step the hell up? Like, let's see. I don't know.
But there's no alpha on this team from an offensive and defensive side of the ball. I mean, Pons can be that on the defensive side, and I know he had a good offensive performance for the most part tonight, but you can't expect that consistently from him. So I just
that's it to me. I talked to I had a conversation with somebody else about it because I was asking this person if he thought they were soft, and he said no, they don't have any alphas. There's no, you know, there's no Lamonte Turner. There's no Grant Williams Admiral. They're just, you know, and Pons is, I mean, he's French. I mean, he's a European guy. He's a different kind of dude. And there just doesn't seem to be anybody with any kind of, you know, chip. That blew my damn mind that Pons let that guy shove him down. I mean, even during some of our worst years.
He just ragdolled him, man.
Yeah, man. And you think of some of the players we've had that would have been like.
What happened? You throw Admiral Schofield to the floor like that.
They're doing 30 minutes on the fight at the Tennessee game on ESPN.
It's going to look like this McGregor fight here in a couple hours.
I'd like to apologize to any French listeners we have, even though you all are pretty soft.
Oh, I mean, that's not what I mean.
They're known for surrendering, Bear. Let's just be honest. We know what it is.
They are surrender monkeys. But the big thing is, he has primarily played in that European league. And Chance Collins, I didn't understand what he was saying when we were, it was on the drive when we first started, when we got in on Pons. And I was all, you know, bam, you know, dazzled by his highlight tape, and Chance told me to pump the brakes. He said, this guy, it's going to take him a while to get used to, you know, the physicality of the American game. So, but I never thought in a million years I would see a Tennessee player let somebody throw them to the ground and not bounce up off the floor and, you know, put their forearm into their throat. So I was disappointed that the rest of the team didn't. You know, that was a moment where they should have bowed their backs up and said, you know what, we're a lot better than these guys, and they should have just crushed them.
Say, hell no.
Not in our house. I mean, in your own house. In front of your, you know, I mean, I realize we don't have very many fans there, but still, man, you don't let anybody come up in your house and do that to you. We got punked tonight. We got punked by, you know, by
we got punked Tuesday, too, by Florida. I mean, it's becoming kind of a theme at this point. So, let's go to the phones. Don is up next. What's up, Don?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Don, how you doing, bud?
Well, I come very close about 12 minutes into that game doing something I never do, and that's turn that sucker off. And they give me a little bit of hope there, you know, making the comeback in the first half. And, of course, we closed the half by missing a layup, which would have cut it to four.
Yep.
And then we come right out in the second half and then come down. And we once again, we play a average to below average three-point shooting team. And what did they hit tonight? 12? We missed 9 free throws. And, oh, yeah, the final score was a 9-point difference. Now, you're not expected to hit 100%. But something's going on. Viscovi's an 87% free throw shooter. He missed 4 straight tonight. He missed a couple with Florida. Something's going wrong. Maybe, you know, he's been banged up pretty hard.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's got anything to do with it. I'm sorry.
He's a little banged up. I think a hip pointer, maybe. Yeah. But, I mean, that doesn't explain all the other good players we have that's struggling right now, Don.
Oh, no. I'm just talking about Viscovi's kicker there. Guys, I mean, how bad could this have been if Fons wasn't on the team? Between his 20 points on offense and all the blocked shots, I mean, it could have been really bad. It was bad, but it could have been really bad. I don't know. I don't think they're having any fun. There's absolutely no enthusiasm, it seems like. Bad thing was, you know, everybody's been pushing, you know, Keon, gonna have more Keon. I thought he played a really bad game overall. Fouling, getting blown by. I just didn't, outside of Ponza's game, and I'll say this, even though he's an absolute offensive liability, you can't really fault the effort that Gaines put out. You know, he comes to play. You know, there's some dumb stuff, and he can't shoot. But at least when I look at games, I see somebody wants to play. I'm not even sure how hard some of them want to play. I don't know. I spent Thursday night and Friday night watching my granddaughter and grandson playing high school basketball, and I saw a whole lot more enthusiasm in those games. I don't know. It just blows my mind that, you know, people talk about how, you know, this is most talented team, maybe potential down the road, whatever. But that team, Schofield's senior year and Grant's junior year, would beat the crap out of this team. Bone. Because you got your point guard.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to congratulate Bone, even though I'm not an NBA fan, never watch a game. I'm glad to see he's getting some playing time, you know, on his chosen profession now in the big league. But I don't know. I'm starting to feel like I did back in around the first part of November when the football team was playing. It's really
somebody had a great line. My brother Ed said Pruitt must have given them his halftime speech from the Georgia game at some point this season, because we have just taken what was once a promising season, put it on the brink. Now, here's the thing about basketball, and Don, Davey, Bear, you guys know this. it can get turned around. Like,
oh yeah,
it's
look at Kentucky.
I'm not pressing the panic button. I am gravely concerned. After the Florida game, it's like, eh, you know, it's that sucked, but look, we'll bounce back. Now it's like, oh God, like what the hell is going on? We got time to fix it. We're not going to win the SEC this year, but if it's still, can we be peaking at the right time? We get Springer back. Keon continues to develop. Fulkerson figures it out. Like, if just two of those things happen, we'll be in a much better situation come March.
Yeah, I mean, if the play of Viscovi and Keon, no Springer and Fulke, it's a miracle that you was that close, you know, at all tonight. It's, and, you know, talking about the French and South, well, the old saying goes is, if the best way to see the French Navy is through a glass bottom boat.
Oh God.
Okay. and living down Sweetwater where, well, you know, lost sea, glass bottom boat. You know.
There but, you go, yeah. In the lost sea. Don, thanks, man. We gotta get some other folks in here. Appreciate the phone call tonight. Guys, we can still get this thing turned around, right? I mean, are we done? Are we sticking a fork in this team?
Oh, no.
No, but it's just, it's frustrating with that on top of everything else going on around this part.
Yeah. I think the big thing is they need to make sure that, I was told, and I don't do this a whole lot, but it was from somebody pretty reliable that Springer's got he had a pretty serious lower ankle sprain. It wasn't a high ankle sprain. And they're trying to sit him until they can get his ankle as close to 100% as they can. They don't want to get in a situation where they're, you know, he's good for a game, he turns it again, he's out for a game. That I still want it to end up being a thing where, you know, Springer's just got this nagging ankle injury all year. And it may end up turning out to be that.
Is it all go back to this injury is the one that he had in that game, right? Where he kind of limped off the field. I can't remember what game that
It was Alabama, wasn't it?
It was two games ago. It was right before Florida because we thought he might play in the Florida game. He got hurt in the game before, so whichever one that was.
He got hurt in it. Yeah, I think he got hurt in Alabama, and then he came back, and yeah. I think they tried to play him a little bit in Texas A&M.
Yeah,
and then he tweaked it again. But yeah, I mean, it's just an ankle, and unfortunately, they're going to have to ice him, keep him on the shelf for a while.
So, play Mississippi State Tuesday at 7. So I would hope he could get ready
Saturday.
Then Kansas
next week.
They got beat by Oklahoma today.
Oh man,
yeah, we'll be curious what ails them.
This is not good. Time to figure it out.
We don't have a whole lot of ball handlers right now, I'll tell you that.
TK, you're on Voluntary Reaction. What's up, brother?
What a horrible, horrible game that was.
Not a lot of fun. Not good times.
You know, it was almost as bad as watching people on Twitter campaigning for Butch Jones 2.0 who worships Greg Schiano.
Stop. That's a dumb, lazy take, TK. You're better than that. Come on, man.
What was his record this year, Russ?
He was 3-4. They lost their offensive coordinator before their season.
Russ is going to make excuse. Nobody wants his Butch Jones sound a dipshit ass. I don't care, Russ.
That's not true.
You call us all lazy takes or whatever, buddy, but you need to face reality.
Why don't you want it?
90% because he said, idiot. He sounds like Butch Jones.
Okay. So
Russell, stupid slogans, his cheerleading jacket, all that bullshit.
Russell, I'll tell you why I don't want him. I'll tell you why.
Can we talk about football now?
Yes. And here's my reason I don't want Fleck. If you look at his history, he's never been a play caller. He's not that guy that's just so dynamic on one side of the ball. He's more of the CEO type approach, which is not what I want. I want a guy that actually, like, one side of the ball, like, they're actually very intelligent when it comes to that.
There have been four group of five coaches that have won that have gone 12-0 this century. Four of them. Urban Meyer, Chris Peterson, Brian Kelly, and PJ Fleck. I'm sorry you guys don't like the way he talks. I'm sorry you guys aren't entertained by the press conference. Do you want to win?
I'm sorry you can't get a job as this hype man.
Do you want to win?
You've been in love with the guy since you watched that tear jerking special on him.
Do you want to win?
It's been like a 3 or 4 year ordeal.
Would you like to win?
I don't want that guy here.
I won't watch it.
I will not watch it. I get two shits if he wins or not. I don't want him here.
You don't care if he wins?
Not with him.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you're not.
I won't go that far, Russell. I want to win.
I don't think he can win. I think you're going to bring that goofball in it. He won
Brian
three
Kelly
games
and PJ Fleck.
Look, a Butch clone that won three games this season. You're going to try and sell that to this place?
Butch clone. So dumb.
Okay. Here's the thing. I don't know if we've talked this much about Danny White, and this is a good and a bad thing. One, after listening to his opening press conference, I don't think he knows anything about us, which in a way, I like.
Yeah.
In a way, if you're going to trot out some guys that have something that the fan base disdains to a level that's kind of like Bears getting at, you got to have somebody in their ear being like, all right, you can go this route, but this is probably how it's going to be perceived. And then he can go ahead and does what he wants there. But I don't know, man. Like, I wouldn't hate it. I would give Fleck a chance. Like, I understand like where his ceiling might be, where his floor kind of is, but with White's history of just making hires for football and basketball programs, I feel confident that he at least can identify talent. Now, how well they'll go and as far as succeeding, that remains to be seen. And I just think the uncertainty, the fact that there are not that many leaks about where they might be going with the search, is one of the things that's making Vol Nation very on edge.
I think that's a very good point. And I think the what you said about him not knowing, but first of all, he probably does know about us. I mean, every athletics director followed the Schiano debacle and everything like that. So he probably knows to an extent. Now, he's probably not, you know, looking at Vol Twitter every night. And that's a good thing. Look, he can't worry about Vol Twitter. And I was like, oh, well, we got the Schiano thing. So, yeah, that's a once in a lifetime thing. That nothing will ever compare to that. There'll never be anybody who is a situation where the fan base has to literally march on campus to get it stopped. Okay. So we can't do this every time we don't like the coaching hire. But I mean, this, you got to be realistic, TK, about what kind of pool you're going to be fishing out of. And if you can get a sitting Power Five head coach who won 11 games or whatever it was, the last full season that they played, that's a home run in my book.
Here's the thing, Russ, and I'm a realistic person, but here's what's going to cause the downfall. When you're bored in Plowman, you can't go out to the public and hop up this coaching search and bring in a dude like that.
I don't know what that means. What are you talking about?
You can't say you're going to bring in a proven head coach and willing to pay $7 or $8 million and bring in a dude who's a coordinator, coaches of Buffalo, or who went 3-4 this year.
TK, did you follow Big Ten football? Do you think James Franklin is a competent head coach?
He's better than Fleck, yes.
Like Jim Harbaugh, like they had what was Penn State? They were like 2-6. Harbaugh was terrible this year. He's won 10 games regularly. Yeah, he can't beat Ohio State. But, like, listen, you can't make this past year be the be-all, end-all. Look at the upward trajectory of every program that he's been at right now.
But Jones almost won 11 games here, Russ.
Here?
Yes.
He won 9. He went 8-4 twice. He never sniffed 11 games. What are you talking about? See, this is what I'm talking about.
He blew the game against Oklahoma.
You guys are so traumatized that, Like, you're not going to – there's a section of our fan base, unfortunately, if they don't trot Urban Meyer out there, they're just going to be, oh, this sucks. I can't get behind this.
I mean, like, you want to talk about that? That's lazy as shit for you to say that. We're not asking for Urban Meyer. We're just not asking for this row your boat dipshit that you've been trying to cram down our throats for 4 years.
You're asking for Lane Kiffin. You're asking for Matt Campbell. You're asking for Jamie Chadwell. And they're telling you no, but you guys don't want to hear it.
Nobody knows anything, really. I don't buy anything that anybody's reporting, from John Bryce to Dan Harrelson to anybody right now. I don't think anybody really knows what's going on. I guess this is all going off of, you know, between the Minnesota message boards and what people who have obviously been. I mean, the one thing I do know is that this guy's told everybody, if you get caught leaking, he's going to fire you. Who the hell knows what's really going on? I think they're floating different names. All I'm telling you is, if it's Fleck, I'm out. Bullshit.
No,
you've always misunderstood my level, my level of hatred for the thought of having that guy in here.
Here's what I'll ask, Bear, if you had PJ Fleck without the Butchisms, how would you feel then?
I mean, is he wearing that stupid ass cheerleading vest and doing that row, row, row your boat shit?
Well, that's the Butchisms. I'm not going to judge him based off him wearing a sweater vest, but.
Yeah, let's talk about his clothes. That's important.
But I do understand the whole idea of coming up with dumb slogans constantly.
And all that? No, I'm out.
Listen, like, he's by no means.
I can't get past that.
He's not at the top of my list, but before last season, I mean, he did win his division. So.
I give two shits, man.
You don't.
And you telling me I'm dumb about this for 4 years?
Can I ask one
question? It's not made him any more likable, Russ.
Can I ask you one more question?
Honest to God, this is the only thing in 4 years, almost 5 years,
we've
been doing a show together that I really get mad at you about.
Calm down. Just, can I ask you one question?
I fucking hate him.
Can I ask you a question? Please, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You honestly place the way he talks and what he wears above his record. Just think about that for a second before you answer me. The way he dresses and the way he speaks is more important than the amount of games he's won.
Why does Tennessee always have to have the goofy motherfucker coach? We had it with that dumbass Dooley. We had it in spades with Butch. And then we doubled down and went and hired, you know, some guy that didn't even know what asparagus was from fucking Alabama. And now you're wanting to bring me this goofy bastard? Why does everybody else get to have a normal coach and we've got to have, you know, the weirdo?
Why do we have to talk about all the window dressing instead of football? Can we talk about football? Like, we're
I don't know. I mean, does he pay you, Russ? I mean, anytime any kind of coach thing comes up, you don't want to. You want PJ Fleck, dude.
I want to win. The guy won. He wins.
You've got to have a boater the size of Montana that Fleck's name surfaced in this deal.
I want to win.
Admit it. No, you want Fleck.
Hang on, Bear. Here's my point, Russell. We can all agree to this. Butch Jones was a blown Oklahoma and Texas A&M game from winning the East and winning 10-plus games. Every coach could do it. Every coach gets lucky.
I mean, that's not true, first of all. No, every coach does not get lucky. But, yeah, Butch Jones was – yeah, if he had not blown the Florida game, the Oklahoma game, he would have been 10-2 that year. But guess what, TK? He did blow those games because that's who he was. He was a choke artist who couldn't get above the 8-4 hump. Like, nobody's – I just – like, if you guys are so traumatized by Butch that you can't, like, debate – a coach on his merits. Like, I don't care about Butch Jones. He's gone. Like, that is not pertinent to the conversation we're having.
It's the same thing like Chadwell. Look at his record. He had one good season and now everybody's clamoring he's the next big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. He had a great season this year in a group of five conference. He's never been at this level as a player, as an assistant, let alone as a head coach. It's a risky hire. And not saying I wouldn't get behind it. He's an inspiring guy. He's an enthusiastic guy, young coach, fun offense to watch, probably put together a good staff. I'm guessing be a good recruiter, and you know that he would love to have this job being here. But I mean, that's, to me, that's every bit as big a gamble as, say, Tony Elliott.
I wouldn't go that far. I'd honestly put, like, as far as a gamble, here's my thing with Chadwell that a lot of people got mad at me because I said today that I'd rather have Chadwell over Lane or Hugh Freeze. And I understand why I got the backlash with our fan base. But the thing that really draws me into Jamie Chadwell is when you focus on the philosophy in which he does, it's very similar from him being an offensive guy, him being able to take less talent and go and compete with more. But the thing that sets him apart outside of, I know that there's that issue that he's had with the NCAA about paying his players. This was more of a compliance issue, in my understanding, than it was so much as Chadwell. What had happened, and if I am wrong, someone please correct me, but it is my understanding that Jamie Chadwell's players went to the bookstore, and with their, this was at the bookstore, instead of spending money on books, they spent it on other school supplies and electronics that they were going to use in some other capacity. That ended up getting reported, and they got in trouble for that. Now, what he's able to do is, if you notice, he does a lot of like 22 personnel packages to where he's constantly subbing guys in and out, trying to get an advantage. And it's one of those things to where every place he has been at, he has won, but he's taken over bad programs. It's never been, he's gotten to a place that they had a decent program and he just was able to kind of fix it here or there and then grow from there. They've all been really bad. And so the fact that he was able, I think this year, we always look at the player talent rankings. I want to say Coastal was like 11th or 12th in their conference when it came to talent rankings, and he ended up winning the division or the conference with them. Like, that's something that whenever I look at where Tennessee's going to be at, and it's like, I think Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin would both do a good job, but I personally believe after all we've been hearing is integrity, 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 both those guys are, they're out. You're just shit out of luck. I know Vol fans don't want to hear it, but that's just the cold hard truth. And if I'm wrong, then I'm going to be happy because I would love to have both of those guys. But
let me push back a little bit on Jamie Chadwell. And again, I would get behind him, but the notion that Coastal Carolina was on hard times, I mean, that's just not true. I mean, the guy he replaced there, Joe Moglia. Really, yeah. Really interesting coach. And they were a perennial playoff team when they were whatever, FCS, whatever it was, before they moved up to D1. And they did have, like, he had some weird thing where he had to step away and Chadwell took over. And then he came back and took over the team. And they went, they were like 500. And, I mean, he's had one. My biggest thing with Chadwell is the complete and total lack of Power Five conference experience. Like, not even a whiff of it. Like, what kind of staff is he going to put together? You know, there's going to be a learning curve there. Just seems like he seems like the biggest gamble of all the names we're considering to me.
Russell, I do want to say before Chadwell took over, they were technically an FCS independent school, and then they were in the Big South. Like, they stepped up to the Sun Belt with Chadwell, which is the biggest group of five program in my mind. That's, I mean, they had success, but them moving up, that was them going to a completely different level.
TK, are you still here? Do you have anything else for us before we move along, get some other callers in here?
In me and Davey's lifetime, are we ever going to see Tennessee pull a Dan Mullen hire?
Well, you guys, you don't want to hear this, but these Power Five conferences never switch. They never go from one job to another. Dan Mullen, very rare that you have Dan Mullen going from Mississippi State to another SEC school, or Jimbo Fisher going from Florida State. That just doesn't happen anymore. The only guy we've talked about, realistic, you know, maybe you consider Matt Campbell realistic. By all means, throw money at Matt Campbell. I don't think he's going to take the job. I don't think PJ Fleck's going to take the job. But it's just, it's hard, especially when you're in the shape that we're in right now, to lure a guy who is successful at a Power 5 job where he's making $4 million a year and he's got it rolling to come over to go to another job, especially when that job is falling on hard times. TK, thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. Let's keep things moving. Voluntary reaction as we approach the bottom of your 11 p.m. hour on a Saturday evening. Jay is up next. Hello, Jay.
Well, Russ, I think Bear's underestimating when P.J. Fleck puts the boat paddles on the back of our helmet, how majestic and awesome that's going to be.
I don't care, man.
You're not going to give me the snap, Jay.
You can put a big pilot logo on the side. You can trot us out there in pink lingerie for all I care at this point, Jay. I just want to win.
I'd rather have lemon juice squirt my eyes every time we score a touchdown than have to have P.J. Fleck as our football coach.
Why?
He's a douchebag, Russell. I mean, why would you want that guy here?
Why would he say that?
He would never, ever. Well, I can tell you. I can actually tell you why. But he would never, ever win here enough to where his act and his spiel that he does would not get on fans' nerves. The guy would have to win 10 or 11 games every year. As soon as he starts turning out some 8-win seasons and he starts talking about, well, we're, you know, he says the word elite every other word, and he starts talking about rowing the boat, and he starts putting those dumb, stupid paddles everywhere, all over the facility and all over our, jerseys and helmets like he's done everywhere.
You don't like the way he talks. You don't like his personality.
Hey, Russell, you know that.
So who do you want then, Jay? It's just such a boring conversation to me. I'm sorry. Like, who do you want then? Like, I get it. You don't like the way he talks. Who do you want?
I'm open just about anybody but P.J. Fleck. I don't want Butch Jones Jr. here.
All right.
And well, I think you're in the minority, Russ, on this.
No, I'm actually not. People keep saying that. You go look at any of my tweets tonight where none of them have been ratioed. They all have more likes than comments. Twitter is not real life, okay? And thankfully, Danny White is not making this hire based on Twitter. If he hires P.J. Fleck, or if he hires just about anybody else, I don't know about Sonny Dykes, but if he hires Tony Elliott, a lot of people don't like Tony. Oh, we can't hire Tony Elliott, whatever their criticisms are. People will get on board, and you know what? The legions of the miserable are going to be miserable. That's fine, but we got to hire somebody.
Are you going to use hashtag row the boat when he becomes our coach?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to use the hashtag row the boat when he becomes our coach? Are you going to be all in on that corny ass shit he says all the time?
If you want to be a smart ass about it, that's fine, Jay, but I just want to win. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, you're not going to get under my skin. I just want
to
win.
So, I mean, I'm asking you an honest question. Do you think he'll win enough at Tennessee to where all that corny bullshit he does wouldn't get on people's nerves? You really think that would happen?
The corny bullshit that gets on your nerves doesn't get on my nerves. I just want to win. I don't care about that.
Butch didn't get on your nerves at all?
What?
Butch didn't get on your nerves at all? You were fine with all that stuff? Butch would say and do the champions of life and brick by brick and all that?
Jay, take a breath. Calm down. Lower the temperature.
No, I'm fine, man. I'm asking you a question.
I'm going to answer you if you'll shut the fuck up.
Whoa!
Everybody was fine with Butch Jones when he was Hawaii 5-0 and he was going down to Texas A&M. And we had just beaten Georgia with the Dobbs nail boot. Nobody talked about Butch Jones's cliches then. Everybody loved the brick by brick. It was all good. You know, when people started being upset with that is when we lost to South Carolina and Vanderbilt, and we blew the East, and we blew a trip to New Orleans, and we didn't go to the Sugar Bowl, and we started losing. Nobody cares about that stuff. Let's talk about football.
I know. Isn't that what I just asked you? I just said, will P.J. Fleck win here enough to where all of his corny-ass sayings and all that stuff he does will not get on people's nerves? That's what I asked you.
Let's get who's up next? Ryan, yes, is up next on Voluntary.
Ryan,
sorry, I lose my temperature, my temper with Jay, but I mean, he's just going to say the same thing over and over. Like, let's have a conversation. Let's have some give and take. I get it. You don't like the way he talks. Like, it's cool, man. We understand it.
Ryan dropped us. We got Justin up next.
Just told a caller to shut the fuck up, Bear. How does that strike you?
I mean, I think you're kind of rude, man, to be honest. Because he was really just, I mean, I think you're mad at me. You're frustrated
I'm not
with
you.
Me.
I love you.
But, I mean, I'm just telling you, it's more than people on Twitter. And I realize that you didn't get ratioed and you got a lot of likes. I think you're underestimating the size of the fan base that would loathe this hire right from the start. I'm really not kidding. Like I'm with you until you don't want to do this shit anymore. You're my boy, but I'm not going to care anywhere near the level I would. Here's the best way to put it. You know how we always kind of joke around and everybody says it'll be delicious to turn on this guy when he screws up. It won't be for me. Like, I dread it. Like, if this guy came in here and it didn't work, and I'm having to listen to that stuff that just, and it's not altogether true about, not altogether true, Russ, about we didn't say anything about a lot of the Butch stuff until he started losing those games. Because I remember when he started some of that goofy shit early on. I mean, even going back to, you know, 15 and, I mean, he talked about it on the job before I was even on it. We used to, you know, clown him. I mean, this shit gets a lot worse once you start losing big games. Then it gets really ugly.
Well, this is, and I apologize to Jay. Like, that was unprofessional. Apologies. But to answer his question, like, how much is he going to have to win to, like, put – I don't know. Like, you have to answer that, right? If it matters that much to you, if the cliches, like, offend you, it doesn't bother me. It never really bothered me about Butch. It was just something fun to goof on him for when he wasn't winning. I want to win. And, like, how many games does he have to win to put up with it? We're not – If you're looking for a coach that's going to come in here and win 10 games a year, then quite frankly, you need to go find another hobby because that's not going to happen.
I mean, even if they hire the right coach, that's not going to happen for, you know, that's what I kept saying all week, no matter who they hire, we're going to have to be incredibly patient because this NCAA shit's not going away. Our roster isn't suddenly going to get, replenished as soon as they hire a head football coach. But I don't know. PJ Fleck is a very polarizing figure. People feel one way or the other about him. All kidding aside, I don't know anybody that's as loyal to him as you are.
Don't you think though, that a lot of that is just us because of Butch, and this narrative has come out there that he is Butch like, because he speaks in cliches, which I don't necessarily agree with. The man likes a good metaphor, but that's beside the point. Don't you think that other fan bases that have fallen on hard times that haven't just been through the Butch Jones experience would not really give a damn about his motivational techniques?
Yeah, but we're not in a vacuum. We did go through the Butch thing, and it's just –
So my thing is we can't – we can't let just the way we can't let Butch Jones color our opinion of PJ Fleck. We can't let Jeremy Pruitt color our opinion of Tony Elliott. We're going to have to hire somebody. And if we sit here and nitpick and all the
world, oh yeah, absolutely,
on every coach, there's no such thing as the perfect football coach.
Well, no, I mean, because I'm here to tell you, you know, they're throwing money at Matt Campbell. I'm not the biggest Matt Campbell fan. Completely irrational. I mean, the goofy bastard's never won 10 games anywhere he's been.
He's never won 10 games. And listen, if you guys hate Davey, if the people hate Butch Jones and PJ Fleck for being cliches, I don't think they've done much research on Matt Campbell. Go look up some of his – go look up some of his locker room speeches. He's the same guy. He's another one.
Here's what I'll say on the PJ Fleck. If he's really a good coach, some of that motivational stuff that would turn off, and I will say this, a majority of the fan base, if he's a really good coach, he doesn't need it. Like, I don't need to see decoys everywhere to remind me of whatever the hell it was he was trying to remind his players. Like, There's other ways you can motivate your team without having to get to that point. And I do agree with Bear that the fact that we did have to go through the Butch, because like, I know we thought it was kind of corny, like the row your boat type stuff, just because of how it came about. But it wasn't, as you mentioned, Russ, as big of a deal for Tennessee fans until we actually went through the Butch stuff, because the row your boat was kind of happening while Butch was here. No one really paid that much attention, and that didn't get big until PJ Flex last year at Michigan, or Western Michigan, where I think they went like 13-1. And the thing I want to say on Matt Campbell is he has been in Ames, Iowa, and Toledo, Ohio, which if you've ever been there, the fact you can recruit any fucking person to come play for you there and win, I think that's a really good sign. You want to talk about like two of the worst places in the country? That's no offense if you're in Ames or Toledo, but my God, like I feel for you people.
No doubt. I look, these successful Power Five coaches, they just don't move, man.
Not since the big money got into it, they don't.
No.
They just don't.
And hey, that's what A&M did, was they threw like stupid money at Jimbo, and he was like, well, it was the perfect storm. He was a little bit dissatisfied at Florida State. So it was like, yeah, I'll do it. That just, it doesn't happen much. And maybe our guys will throw stupid money at somebody that's, we've never done that. You know, I don't think that.
I just don't think anybody really knows shit. And it wouldn't surprise me with how the couple things that I have heard that I do trust, which is this guy is serious about leaks and all of that. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're floating, if he's not floating out all this different stuff to. I'm not going to be able to pronounce this right this late at night. Obfuscate. Is that how you say it, Russ?
Just go with smokescreen.
Smokescreen. What he's really up to. And I don't know. Maybe this guy's playing 8D chess with us and with that. Because we've all, you know, we've heard the rumors that, you know, there may be a house cleaning going on over there.
Hey, did you guys see that they blocked the tracking of that plane he showed up on?
They've done it before, though. They did that. They've done that shit before. So, and it's no offense to any of the beat guys or anybody, but some of the same people that are throwing out names right now were telling me that John Gruden was going to be our coach 3 years ago. So, I mean, unless my phone dings, And I see Trey dropping something in my ear, I'm taking it with a grain of salt right now. And, you know, Trey's just been the, you know,
you talked to him off the air, Bear. He's got some info on this.
If you don't think
Wallace is digging with, like, the biggest damn shovel you've ever seen right now.
No, he's like Stanley the steam shovel. I'm sure he's digging. But what I'm saying right now is from what I've heard about this white guy, it wouldn't surprise me if he set canary traps for people. Just floating something.
You just tell some higher.
Oh, it'll be one of the Du Bois. One of the state run guys, or it might be Feldman, or I don't know. It all depends. If John Curry finds out, it'll be Wolken or Thamel or 40. You know, one of those clowns. It'll be interesting to see who does break it. My guess is it'll probably be Brent or Austin. Probably Brent would be my guess if they really do keep it locked down. But, like, I mean, supposedly Hubs admitted that he, you know, he just came right out and admitted he doesn't know. And if Brent Hubbs is telling everybody he doesn't know, then I would imagine nobody really knows, because I would think that the state-run guys get it before anybody.
Nobody knows.
But you were damn right. Trey Wallace is currently right now digging to China trying to find out.
Oh, man. Who's up next, Jeff? Which caller am I about to curse out next?
You're
a
volunteer. Justin.
You're going to calm your ass down.
Hold on. I'm pretty sure it's Justin, yeah. Justin,
Hey guys, how's it going?
I've already hung up once tonight, so this should be good.
Yes. Hey, you ain't gonna flush me this time, but that quick. I got Bear backing me now. I mean, you know, but look, here's the thing about PJ Fleck, Russ. The cliches don't really bother me because you know what? Dabo Swinney speaks in cliches. Listen to him. He does the blood and guts, all that bullshit and everything all the time. This guy, he's just a Big Ten lifer. That's where he belongs. He'll never make it in the SEC. Nothing about him screams Southeastern Conference. And try and explain to me how I'm wrong on this, please.
Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer went to Utah. I mean, that's a way better program than wherever the hell this guy's been at.
So when Urban Meyer went at Utah, they were in the Mountain West.
Mountain West is about larger than them and better than the MAC.
It's a group of five conference. I mean, it was very similar. But, you know, both I think PJ Fleck's from Ohio or Urban Meyer's from the Midwest, and he came in here. And everybody said, the spread option is not going to work and everything. He went out and got athletes and won two national championships. So
Nick Saban Nick Saban ran his ass out of the – I mean, I fully agree with you.
Quick point.
He got chewed up and spit out.
Another quick point, Nick Saban, career Big Ten Midwestern guy before he came down here, and, you know. So
he's a cliche guy, rat poison.
Yep.
One other point about Urban, though, when he was at Utah and he was in that Mountain West, they had some solid-ass teams. They had, I think it was TCU and BYU. They were all winning 10 or 11 games that year. Who the hell was he beating? Who the hell was P.J. Fleck beating at Western Michigan? I mean, he had a cupcake schedule. Hell, he had a cupcake schedule last year when he went and won 11 games at Minnesota. Hell, he beat South Dakota State and shit teams like that. Hell, he barely beat South Dakota State.
Is Minnesota over on that weak ass side on football, that weak division?
Yeah, being powerhouses like, you know, Illinois and Northwestern. Shit, man, he wasn't like he was playing Penn State every week and Ohio State. When he played them, he got his damn doors blowed off. So, he's not made for it.
Hey, man. I'll have that conversation with you all day long, Justin, and you bring up some very interesting football points. Yeah, I mean, he's not he hasn't accomplished as much as Urban Meyer did, I think, before he got the Florida job. But taking Minnesota compared to taking Florida, I think that's a little bit interesting. But the point is, like, yeah, let's have this conversation. Let's debate it on the merits of his coaching and whether or not he would win here. Like, all the cliche stuff and, like, really, we're going to talk about what the guy wears? I mean, come on. Like, can we talk about football?
I don't care if he's coaching naked on the sidelines and wins 10 games. I mean, how he dresses, that don't bother me. I tell you who we ought to go get. He's right there. He's unemployed. I'd go get Tom Herman right now. I mean, that may be an unpopular opinion, but, I mean, he's there. I mean, and he got screwed over at Texas. They should have never fired him. There was no reason to fire him.
Well, I mean, those people make us look sane.
Oh, they've already –
no shit.
They've got Sarkisian's behind the eight ball. I mean, he was going to hire – oh, God, who was to be his linebackers coach? He's going to bring in. He offered him a job. I had to call him back and told him that, you know, I guess the booster said no. I just saw that story this week. If it wasn't fucking midnight on Saturday, I could tell you. If somebody's staying at Alabama as an analyst now.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be perfect. Like I said, you ain't got to go through no process. I mean, hell, you ain't got to buy out a contract or nothing with him. And he's a proven winner. I mean, he won in a way tougher division or conference than PJ Fleck was in before he went to a Power Five school.
I'm sorry.
He was playing UCF and Memphis and, you know, teams like that.
I'm sorry. Who are we talking about?
Herman, when he was at Houston. You know, he was going, I think he won like 10 games, what, back to back years?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to make of Tom Herman, man. People, you hear weird things about, oh, he's got a weird off-putting personality. Some of the same things we heard about Pruitt down here. But I mean, I'm with you guys. Like what he did at Houston, very impressive. And he was the guy that everybody wanted. Like he was the next big, he was the next Urban Meyer back then. LSU tried to hire him. He turned him down so that he could get that Texas job. And man, it just goes to show, like, once you get canned once, like, it doesn't even matter what your record is. Like, just that perception you carry around is going to be, it's hard to overcome.
And then that's one of the point. We keep screwing with these Nick Saban guys. Why don't we screw with an Urban Meyer guy for once? Because they've had way more success than Saban's guys. Way more success. Just go look at the track record of them. I mean, other than Jimbo Fisher, who's another successful Saban guy?
Hey, guys, I'm going to stop you right now. I don't know if you've seen Rivals Mike Farrell, but he just put out that college football source told me tonight that the Vols' job is Tony Elliott's if he wants it. Not news I know, but a good source.
Oh, God.
Maybe we need to be talking about Tony Elliott a little more.
Oh, Jesus Christ, kill me now.
Who said that? Oh, Mike Farrell?
Yep. This came out at 11:36, so 10 minutes ago. Just came across my news desk.
Like, not news. That, like, not news. That's huge news.
Well,
like,
he's saying he doesn't know if it's for sure news, just a source that he has.
Oh.
Here's the thing. I don't know if I'm trusting anybody's sources right now. Simply because of the way White operates.
We had some pretty good information. I'll just say this. I think that that Danny White and Tony Elliott have already spoken, and more than just a, I don't know if I call it an interview, but I believe they have spoken.
Farrell said, not news I know, but a good source.
Hey, Justin, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it. See, I didn't hang up on you this time in anger. Look, guys, let's talk about Tony Elliott for a minute then. The really interesting life story. If you haven't read, they did a really nice expose on him in The Athletic back in the fall. He grew up in California. His dad wasn't around. Mother died. He was in a car wreck with his mother at the age of 9. His mother died. He watched his mom die. Went to live with his dad. Dad didn't have his life together. Was an addict, bounced around the country, eventually settled in the South, played a little football in high school, and got his only D1 scholarship offer was from the Air Force Academy. Went out there, decided it wasn't for him, came back, got a job, and was just working like at a, I can't remember, like at a 7-Eleven or something, and decided he's going to save up some money and to go to Clemson for a semester, just as a student. Ran into a buddy, decided he still wanted to play, walked on to the team, became like one of those like Nick Ravays types who walk on, who earned a spot on the team, was a team captain, started coaching, coached at South Carolina State and Furman for a while, and then Dabo hired him at Clemson. He's just come up the ladder, and he's an interesting candidate. What are you guys' thoughts on Tony Elliott?
Barry, would you like to go first, sir?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess my biggest fear with him is he's never been a head coach. I know that he's, you know, obviously it was pretty obvious that they definitely missed him in the game against Ohio State. You know, how would he do without All-Pro and potential future All-Pro talent, you know, the best talent, you know, to play with offensively, because he's not going to have that here, not for a couple of years. And my big fear is a coordinator who's learned on the job to be a head coach. That being said, yeah, I mean, he's got a great life story. He's worked probably as hard as anybody to get where he's gotten. And I mean, I'd get on board with it. I'd have some serious reservations.
I think he, one other thing, Davey, he graduated like a engineering degree, so he's not a dumb doctor.
Yeah, I think I heard it's like something industrial engineering. I could be wrong on that, but it's something along those lines.
He's not a gym teacher.
No, and here's my thing, Bear, you kind of alluded to it, but we know how far down in the dumps this program's going to be. We know we're still waiting to hear from the NCAA, and that's my biggest risk, is taking a guy who has never ran a program before and letting him be the guy whenever I understand that this job is not near as attractive as it used to be. I mean, I don't think there's any Vol fans that believe like this is a perennial job. Like, it can be, but they understand whoever comes into this is coming into a dumpster fire. So I want someone that I at least has seen in some capacity, whether you want to say it's a lower level or a higher level. Like, just, I need to know that you can take a bad program and make it good. And I mean, Tony, like, great life story, but he's never done anything on his own from a head coach standpoint. And that's very scary. And
he's like Kirby Smart to me. That's what he is.
But you sent Kirby into a really good position.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like Kirby Smart. That seems to be
going well. You say that. It goes really well for Georgia. But Kirby Smart walked in, you know, to a cupboard being stocked with the best ingredients that money can buy. No pun, you know, pun intended. I mean, Georgia, you know, they had Mark Richt buying all the groceries. You know, if we were in that situation, I'd be like, yeah, sure, bring him on. This guy obviously knows what to do with top shelf talent.
Hey, Davey.
Yeah.
I agree with what you guys, you know, the Clemson thing, the Alabama thing, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because there is something to be said for knowing how the best programs operate, the advantages they have that not only other non-power, like the advantages they have that like we don't have, quite frankly, or didn't have until Pruitt got here and tried to copy it, as far as 50 analysts to self-scout all the time and diagnose your tendencies. Not only what are you going to run on third and four, but like, does your left guard fart before the snap and give away the, you know, whatever, all that stuff. So I think that is important. He obviously knows how to do that. But, yeah, he's played with great talent. And plus, like, he shared the offensive coordinator job there with Jeff Scott up until this past season. Is he calling all the plays? I don't even know. How much of that is Dabo's offense? How much of that is his? I'm not sure. So,
yeah. And,
yeah, I mean,
and
that's my big hesitation too, obviously.
I mean, Russell, he's had the best quarterback in college football for the last several years too. What do you do whenever you're having to take a giant step down in those regards? Like,
okay. I think if you're looking at it optimistically, you think, okay, here's young African American coach, knows some guys. I think he knows T. Martin, knows Jay Graham. Maybe he keeps some of those guys, keeps Kevin Steele, and assembles just a recruiting juggernaut, right? Mm-hmm. He can go out and get Ty Simpson. He can keep Caden Salter. He can find a good offensive coordinator to run it, go out and get somebody who's young and exciting and can bring a dynamic offense, lock down the state, keep all these elite four-star guys in state for the first time in a long time. And I know people say, well, that's what we said about Pruitt. People just have no idea how big of an interpersonal nightmare Jeremy Pruitt was. You hear about this guy, Tony Elliott. Everybody says, oh, man, he's integrity, the best dude in the world. Nobody said that about Jeremy Pruitt. Aaron Murray tried to warn us. Goofy-ass Aaron Murray said, this guy's an asshole, Jeremy Pruitt. He's not going to work. Several people tried to warn us, and we didn't want to hear it at the time because we were so traumatized. Kind of in the same situation again, but nobody's saying that about Tony Elliott. So listen,
yeah,
man,
I'm not going to sit here.
We thought it was funny at the time, but it should have been a pretty big warning sign that Jeremy Pruitt basically showed up drunk and stripped to the waist, wanting to fight Mark Richt at his house that night. I
heard it was the next morning. Either way, it was bad. No, like we could go on and on about all the red flags that were there with Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, there's even been more stories come out as why he left Florida State when he did and why he left. But I just, I'm not going to try to sell the fan base on Tony Elliott because I know they don't want to hear it. And I can't say that I blame him. I'm not saying that it's not going to work out if he is the guy. But I know if I were in their shoes, that's not what I want to hear. I at least want someone that I've seen them win a football game before. And I can't say that I've done that with Tony Elliott.
Yeah. One more quick question. I know we got a full bank of calls. We're gonna bank through these with Tony Elliott. And I forgot what it was. Let's go to the phones. It's almost midnight. And we got our ass kicked on the basketball court tonight. That really sucked. So I'm a little fried. Richard. Did we just talk to Richard?
We talked to Justin. Richard should still be here. Richard, hey. are you there?
Richard. Yeah, I'm here.
The floor is yours, sir.
Am I on?
Yeah, man, go ahead.
Okay. Look, go back to that year, that winter when Lane Kiffin bolted, and David Blackburn said, do not panic, don't hire Derek Dooley. Yeah, we're gonna lose a chunk of recruiting class, but this is a mistake. You know, I think he made some enemies. That was part of the reason he got pushed out, is what I understand. So, if we've got such a shallow pool to pick from, and I know this isn't, you know, well, I'm to hear this, but why not just put Steele in as interim, wait a year? And instead of, you know, fucking PJ Fleck.
I mean, it's something to consider.
Or these other, you know, you guys are talking about all these guys are questionable. And we don't have much to pick from, so don't make a desperation move.
Well, let me ask you this, Richard. What makes you think it's going to be any better a year from now?
I don't know, but I think, no, I don't know that. But we start earlier. He has a year to look around. And, you know, we start earlier, and I think we'd be in a better position than we are right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's something to be said for that. I just, it seems like they hired this guy, Danny White, to hire a football coach. I know that he didn't
let him hire a football coach, but don't do it, you know, when we're in
I think they want to do it now.
I know they do.
I think they want to do it now. Doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. I don't know. What do you guys think? Barrett, Davey, Kevin Steele.
No,
should we still be entertaining that?
That's a non-starter for me. No, we should not be entertaining that.
No.
Did you hear the same thing about when they hired Dooley?
We aren't in the same place we were.
No, that's
a
different.
We're 10 years down this nightmarish hole of just shit. It's hitting the same deal. Kevin Steele's not, you know, it's not. We don't have the same roster.
Kippy could have held
an NCAA sanctions. Kippy,
he could have held that together, but
Kippy
Kevin's not landing any big recruits. I can tell you that much.
I mean,
well,
Kippy had.
Fair. I mean, that's
fuck.
Fuck. Sure, I'm listening.
Kippy had everybody. There were a lot of people within the Tennessee family at that time that were all on board. That we're going to go great guns and all out to help Kippy out. Our fan base wasn't completely fractured after 10 years of just complete dumbfuckery. I don't see that as an option. You know,
I mean,
Trey has reported this week that the whole Kevin Steele thing and the reason he's here was, and I really believe it was, planned by Coach Fulmer to try and say cover his ass and save his ass. You know, if they bring somebody in and they interview Coach Steele and they decide to keep him on as defensive coordinator, I'd be happy with that. He's a top 20 defensive coordinator. If I'm the head coach, I'm sitting him down and looking him in the eye and telling him, you know, don't think that you can pull the shit on me that you pulled on Gus Malzahn, or your ass will be gone. I mean, he tried to pull a coup on his head coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no wonder he's friends with Fulmer. But
exactly.
All the reasons you just gave might be reason to wait a year, get things stable, and, you know. So, I mean, there's two sides to it. But on my way out, would you tell some more Jeremy Pruitt stories? Did he really go to Rick's house drunk?
I mean, that's the story. I mean, Russ mentions Aaron Murray. There's a reason that a lot of the real Georgia guys that played at Georgia, love Georgia, they didn't like, they don't like that guy, do they, Russ?
No, I don't know that I buy the, I've heard the challenging Rick to a fight. I don't know that I'm buying that one. I don't know that I'm not buying it. I just don't know that
I buy it more now, Russ, after this guy being here and realizing just what a trailer park piece of Alabama trash he is. I totally believe it now.
Dude, I've told you some of the stories off the air about like what a terrible recruiter Jeremy Pruitt is. And I can't tell him on the shows because it would be pretty obvious who this stuff was coming from. But I'm hoping now that he's gone that people come forward and tell their stories. Cause this guy was like an all time piece of work. He made Butch Jones and Derek Dooley look like freaking Tom Landry and Vince Lombardi.
Let's just say the only reason he was a good recruiter was because he was handing bags of cash at Alabama. Like that's it. He wasn't impressing the parents. Let's put it that way.
No, it's that dude. It's unbelievable that we let that Bammer come in here and just totally Chernobyl our program. Like we're still coming to terms with it. I don't think it's sunk in yet, the depths to which, I mean, it will. We're going through an NCAA investigation. Like, eventually we'll come to terms with it. But, like, our heads are spinning right now, man. We just got through 2020, the COVID year. It was an awful football season. We had this long, prolonged, drawn-out firing. And now we just jumped right into an athletics director search, to a coaching search. And it's just our heads are spinning, man. We don't know which way – what's coming next? I mean, maybe this guy, Mike Farrell, might be telling us that Tony Elliott's our next football coach, and I don't even know what to make of it.
I think you will see a lot of people tune out. I mean, I'm not saying they won't come back if we start winning, but I don't think a lot of people are sitting around for it.
I wouldn't tune out with Elliott. I really wouldn't.
I'm not saying us, Bear, but like that, I do know there are a lot of fans that would close the door on, oh, another guy who's never done anything on his own, gotta wait, and it's just another Pruitt.
Davey, I think a lot of it depends on messaging. I think that again, we're so just rattled right now as a fan base, but I think if a new coach comes in here and settles things down, hires a staff, maybe gets a couple of commitments, maybe gets Ty Simpson in the boat pretty early, like, I think people will get back on board and hopefully just realize that, again, Pruitt, he really screwed us, man. And it's not going to be – I know fans are tired of being told to be patient. I get it. I don't want to be patient anymore. It sucks. But we're here, and all you can do is jump and swim. Let's jump back into the phone lines and swim a little bit. Who's next, Dave?
It's a great question, Russell. I'm glad you asked. We have Whiskey Jim next. Yeah,
Jim, what's up?
Not much. I've been listening to you guys for 30 minutes. Droning on about, or just beating your meat about our broke dick football team. What the hell happened tonight? We've got the Scobie looking like he's got his bleach tips going to a Smash Mouth concert. I'm pretty drunk. Folky's dreaming about fucking pals instead of actually scoring points. And then we got Yves Pond, the French spider monkey, actually scoring our damn points. What's going on with the basketball team?
We've hit a rough patch.
They don't have any fight in them right now, Whiskey Jim.
Yeah. Our best point guard's got a bad ankle. excuse me.
Yeah, we need a freshman to score all our damn points.
Well,
we shouldn't be this reliant on
one player,
on any freshman. I mean, we got the returning SEC Defensive Player of the Year, returning first team All-SEC player. Vescovi's experience now. By the way, Rick Barnes said he's given him a pass tonight because he's pretty banged up with a hip pointer, so I'll take him at his word there. But we got guys that were here last year that were playing pretty good basketball that are quite frankly not playing well at all right now.
Well, they fucking suck.
Yeah. It sucks.
You're
it
being
really
nice.
It sucks. I feel you, Whiskey Jim.
All right, so get back to dumb shit coaching church. Whatever. Have fun.
Feel kind of bad for him. He's like, oh, man, I just want to get on the air to talk about how bad the basketball team was tonight. He's like, oh, I just got to listen to this damn football stuff. It's rough night. Drink some water, Whiskey Jim. Mix in a water.
Yeah, hydrate a little, buddy.
Nah.
I'm glad he waited 30 minutes on hold, though, for that moment. That's good.
Who else we got on hold?
We got the mayor of South Knox next.
Oh, God, this should be a breath of fresh air.
Hello!
Where's A.W.?
Phil, it's the wee hours of Sunday morning now. How are you, sir?
I know, I'm going to get ready to go to sunrise service.
There you go. I'm going to need it after last night.
Yeah. How's you and Bear and Davey doing?
Yeah, we're making it.
Well, I'm just trying to – what do you make of this Tony Elliott? It's the job. It's his job if he wants it. What does that even mean?
Has anybody already said no? Is this the first guy we went after?
That's what would concern me.
Nobody knows, no.
But, yeah, no
I
one
doubt
knows.
It.
That can't be your first call. If you're Danny White, your first call cannot be Tony Elliott, right? Like, I mean, someone talked me through that. Like, there's no rational way where you talk about getting a guy that you're going to have a huge buyout for as an athletic director and then come here and have him cash strapped to go hire a coordinator.
So I got a thought on that. I guess he tried to call Dan. He tried to call this guy when he hired Heupel. And he basically is like, yeah, I'm not going to group of five. Yeah. So he obviously likes this guy, and maybe he just had it circled. And here's the thing, too. This is not Danny White's hire unilaterally, right? When he goes through the search firm process, he meets with John Compton, Donnie Plowman, and Randy Boyd.
Do you know who he met tonight, Russell?
You know they ask him extensively, like, what's your plan? Who are you going to talk to? Like, so they had to sign off on whatever his plan of attack was, too.
Did old man sign off on tonight at the ball game?
I heard he met the Haslams tonight.
The whole bunch of them, the Owls were there tonight. The whole old brigade was there. Is that right? That's what I heard.
A couple of suitcases full of cash?
Well, I don't know. They had the trifecta of the Owl family was in attendance. So, and so was the athletic director. So put two and two together. But I don't understand why in the world you start off with that assistant coach as your number one target. That don't make no dang sense to me at all.
Well, we don't know that he hadn't been turned down by, you know, everybody in front of him. We don't – that's the thing that we're all having to come to grips with is this thing's not leaking like a sieve anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's good in a way, I guess. What about DJ Fleck? Are they after him? Somebody told me that a little while ago.
Oh, God.
Russell, would you like to take this one?
I'm sorry. What's that? I was returning a message here.
DJ Fleck.
Phil was inquiring about BJ Fleck.
Yeah, BJ Fleck, or whatever his name is, up there in Minnesota.
I mean, he's apparently, according to John Bryce, he's one of three guys that they're considering.
And Spikes Dykes, or whatever his name is, is he out of SMU?
Sonny. Had to take over Chad Morris's mess.
Good Lord. Just give me eight men, go down to Oxford, Mississippi, and get Lane. I mean, good Lord. It can't be that damn hard.
Integrity, Phil.
I don't care about integrity. I want to win. We sucked for 20 years. Look what integrity's got.
I love it.
You don't have to tell me, buddy.
We don't care about integrity anymore. God damn it. Hire us a football coach.
There we go. Well, I guess there's really nothing I can do except complain and wait to see what they do. But I'm very puzzled that Tennessee basketball team looks like the football team now. They look awful.
We fire Pruitt and our basketball program goes to crap. What the hell?
Yeah, and I hate to say it, the one player shouldn't mean that much, but Jaden Springer, he's the one only cog of the whole operation over there.
I mean, they look like a completely different team, especially offensively, without him. I mean, Vescovi is, you know, I know he's got a hip pointer right now, and you know, like you were saying, Russ, but he's not a point guard, man. He's a post up too.
He's a liability on the court right now, but he's gonna put it out there. That's the problem.
Well, he's hurt, and they're putting him out there. Right? They don't have anyone else that they can.
He wasn't hurt at the beginning of the year.
Here we go about recruiting. I've told people forever the recruiting. We haven't signed a post player in 6 years, 5 years. Kyle Alexander's last rim protector we signed is any good. This is Rick Barnes' fault. They got a bunch of stiffs over there. Yeah. They can't even put them in the game. This little crummy.
You told me 2 weeks ago, guys, that we'd be sitting here bashing on Big Rick Barnes. I told you you're crazy.
I'm not really bashing, but Phil's got a good point. I mean, it just doesn't. You got to question it a little bit. I mean, we don't have an alpha, and you know, I know of at least one that he didn't sign that he could have.
Well, I know one thing. They got three down at off Cedar Bluff Road. They need to get all three of them. They need to get N.J. Tomba, B.J. Edwards, and Blue Kane. Blue Kane needs to be offered right now. He's almost as good as B.J. I don't know what Tennessee's waiting on. They got the crummiest recruiting philosophy I've ever seen over there.
If we get that Blue Kane kid, I'll tell you right now, man, he's going to be a folk hero of epic proportions here in East Tennessee.
Oh, he's like White Chocolate Jr. Everybody's starting to sniff around that kid.
Have you seen this kid, Davey? Have you seen Blue Kane?
I haven't, actually. I was looking him up as you said that.
He looks whiter than you.
He kind of looks like Davey's super athletic, cool cousin, young cousin.
So just like me. Okay, I got it.
And the kid
kind of looks like
absolutely
you, for real.
Bounce, man. He get up and get out of the gym.
Well, guys,
class
2023.
Oh yeah, it can, Phil. Absolutely. Don't ever say that. Every time we say that, we find another level of hell to descend into. We didn't think it'd get any worse after Strideright. Damn if we didn't hire Alabama's dumbass bag man. And I'm still not convinced what sent up here on a mission from Nick Saban.
I'm going to wait and see what this athletic director does. I mean, I can't, you know, he's had a pretty good track record where he's been at, but he's in the big boy league now, and that's the whole different ball game, and we'll see what he does. But what I like about him, though, if Rick Barnes retires, at least he'll be able to get a good basketball coach, because I'm glad Fulmer's not on the campus anymore. I hope he stays over there in Blount County and goes to that steakhouse and not leave any tips. See you.
Is this Blue Kane kid better than Mac McClung?
Yeah, that's who I was going to say he probably compares to.
I mean, Blue Kane's going to get recruited by. I mean, he's going to end up being a top 100. He's going to get recruited by everybody.
I was really I was talking with Billy Williford about this, but us not going after Mac was a big mistake. I know they went after him, but if they would have pushed hard enough, I think they could have got him. But when you want to talk about like an alpha point guard, like that kid's got it. Like he's the guy you have take a shot whenever you don't have much time left on the clock. You're down two, 5 seconds left.
I have more of a problem with him not signing a 6'10", 240-pound post player.
That's fair. Know, but we're talking about like getting an alpha. Mac McClung's an alpha.
I mean, you want to. Well, Akeem Adesupe is an alpha. Lagos, Nigeria.
Are any of these kids,
not tough?
Are any of these kids who went to Catholic in any way not just five-star talents who we all
have? Yeah, like kids
that
are not being paid to go there?
I don't know. I mean, they don't get paid to go there. Nobody gets those. None of those kids get paid to go there. That's an awfully ugly accusation to make on the air, David. You have any proof to back that up?
No, they're probably smart about it. They don't run a program like dumb fuck Jeremy Pruitt.
Dumb fuck.
Nah, I'm just saying, you know, Catholics had a lot of luck recently with kids showing up wanting a good Catholic education. I don't know. I mean, you can say what you want about Adesupe, but I mean, 6'10", 240-pound power forward. Tougher than nails. He's an alpha. Jerry Stackhouse loves him. So.
Have we offered Blue Kane?
Not yet. But I will. You know, Phil did say something. They are recruiting Des Oliver specifically. You can't recruit anybody harder than Des is on Tomba. So,
well, it'll be nice to have a little local pipeline, I suppose, but we'll see. All right, guys, do we have any other calls, Davey?
Nope, lines are clear.
Just kind of wrapping up here, this coaching search. I mean, here's the thing, man. It feels like it's been going on forever because the investigation news broke in, I guess, December 19th or whenever, and that's been going on before that.
When did we fire Pruitt, Russell? Monday?
Yeah.
It hadn't even been a week ago. We're already fucking melting down.
Yeah. Monday.
You know what my takeaway from it is, honest to God? I don't trust anything I read. It's no insult or slight intended towards Rivals Mike, John Bryce, you know, anybody, but I don't believe anything right now just because of the way this new athletic, I mean, he's the X factor. He's wanting to keep everything close to the vest. So, I mean, who the hell knows what's really going on? And we've gone from being able to find out just about anything within, you know, 10 minutes of it being said over there on campus to, you know, that's the one consistent thing is that everybody said it, there's a lid over there. It's just kind of been shut down, all the information. So I don't know. Is Trey not checking in with us tonight? I was hoping we'd get a Trey update.
He's taking the night off. Or the whole day.
Lazy bastard.
He needed it.
He ain't taking the night. He's got a shovel somewhere, man. He's digging.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in correspondence with Trey. He's not taking the night off.
Well, he said he was going to try to. He said he made a promise, and not to me, but to a friend, and they were just going to relax.
He's getting set to watch the McGregor fight.
Well, that's not work. I mean, like, I know we kind of count that stuff as work, but as far as like him being on the phone 24/7, I don't know. Cause I texted him yesterday and I was like, hey, man, are you wanting to join us tomorrow? And he goes, I told myself I was going to take a mental health day tomorrow. It's caught up with me,
God,
you know.
Mental health. That's your mistake, Davey. You should have let me and Russ handle it. We'd have shamed him into coming on. Hey, Russ.
He's been doing good work. I'll give him a day off.
Out of your Twitter archive.
The Chad Morris tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, shooters out here shoot. Nobody shoots 100% from 3-point range. Everybody, I mean, hell, you saw Pons throw up an air ball tonight. I mean, it happens.
He's Art Briles without the baggage.
I don't miss much, but every now and then I clank one off the backboard. Don't shy away from it.
You missed the bat. You shot that thing over the top of it. Wow. But anyhow,
what's the date on that tweet?
December 3rd, 2017.
All right, so that's like, that's after Shiano Sunday. That's like 3 weeks in. That was when, like, whatever little spat we had over PJ Fleck today, that makes it look like at that point in 2017, we're running around pulling our hair out. I mean, we're pouring gas. We're drinking lighter fluid.
What's the name of that book? We'd gone full Lord of the Flies at that point.
All right, here comes McGregor. He's bald tonight.
What channel is that on?
It's pay per view.
You've been talking to Wallace, huh?
No, I'm on ESPN, and they're showing here at the station. They're showing him walk up and get ready. They
show the walk up.
Yeah, they'll show all the preview stuff. Yeah, they'll show all the preview stuff.
I hope he gets his ass kicked.
No, I got money on it. I need him to.
I don't give a shit.
Through.
I hope you lose all your money.
It was a boosted bet.
You find a Louisiana boy.
Swamper.
Who the fuck is that guy?
I do like the way he talks. Crazy Irishman.
Let's see the gorilla walk.
He's getting checked out.
What do you think, Russ? Do you think anybody really knows anything? What do you think about I think that it's hard to trust anything right now?
I mean, I don't take anything verbatim like that. And Mike Farrell, it's not like, I mean, he said it in the tweet. He's not reporting it. It's not a done deal. But I think it's pretty obvious that Tony Elliott is in this thing, whatever that means. Like, I don't think it's a done deal.
All right. Let me ask you this real quick, because I thought of a good way to put it.
Real quick. He also doesn't have an agent, apparently.
I would be more concerned if they're going through all this, they've got people telling them no, that they didn't go talk to, for lack of a better phrase, a hot shit offensive mind that's developed Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Are we looking at it the wrong way? Yeah, he did have this incredible talent, but, we've seen here, we had a once in a generational athletic talent, Josh Dobbs, never got coached.
I thought Deshaun was more Jeff Scott. Or hell, that might have been. No, it wouldn't have been Morris, but I thought that was Scott kind of got more of that.
No, I thought it was. Maybe it would have been Morris, because it was Deshaun was right after they shit canned Napier.
I mean, I just know Tony's been credited with all the running backs that they've had come through there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think so.
It's risky.
Where is Lafayette, Louisiana? Is that down near Ruston?
Lafayette? Yeah, it's down there on the western side of the state, I believe.
I always forget you married into a Louisiana family.
It's just a big gamble, Tony Elliott, high risk, high reward thing. I guess, I could see him putting together a killer staff and recruiting, but here's the thing, man, we talk about this class and you put that together, the most killer staff of all time. Are kids going to want to jump in if they don't know, there might be a 2-year bowl ban. Like, how rough is it going to get here? Just all the uncertainty. I think some people have some information, Bear. I don't think it's all a desert of no information out there. I think some people, I think you'll start to hear some, there have not been as many leaks. I mean, for sure. But, I would be stunned if, Danny White said that he wants the team to be the first ones to hear about the new coach being hired. That just doesn't happen anymore, because, the guy's agent.
No, get on Twitter.
Yeah, his agent's going to know. His wife is going to know, and they're going to tell somebody. And the next thing, bam! It's like you just can't keep a hire like that secret for more than.
That's why I said Tony Elliott doesn't have an agent.
Really?
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that, Dave. Interesting.
It's all good.
Not many of those guys. Harbaugh doesn't.
Did you guys read about how he got sideways with Bobby Hurley up there?
Who, Danny White?
Yeah.
No, I mean, Bobby Hurley's an idiot. Known hothead. He makes me look sane.
Oh, the other thing, I can't believe I have heard through the grapevine that this could be a really good thing or a really bad thing. I don't know what. But our new athletics director is not exactly best buds with Jimmy Sexton.
Why is that?
I don't know why, but
Jimmy Sexton just about single-handedly ruined college football.
But can you be an effective athletics director and not do business with that guy?
No. Not in the SEC. Not in the SEC, you can't.
We'll see. He's going to have to really hit on, let's say, Tony Elliott doesn't have an agent, and he decides to go that direction, and he hits it out of the park. Could you imagine how nice it'd be not to have to deal with Jimmy Bloodsucker Sexton?
But I'm not talking about from a head coaching standpoint, but I'm talking about like a lot of these assistants, like these guys you need to bring in here. Like you need, I don't want to say it, but you need Jimmy Sexton in some capacity.
Well,
Fulmer and him did not get along either. Like they had a falling out.
A lot of people do with him.
Yeah.
He's got no loyalty to Tennessee. It's on, you know, the school that gave him his break. So,
all right, boys, I'm going to get off of here and watch this fight. What do you say?
Yeah.
Works for me.
Absolutely.
I know we've been, we've kind of sputtered out here. Anybody have any closing thoughts before we hang it up?
No, I'll probably talk to y'all tomorrow.
Not really. We need to probably pump the brakes still a little bit on the basketball team. And I don't know that'd be a bad thing for our entire fan base to disengage from the coaching search for our own sanity.
Yeah. That's going to happen.
You're not real popular over on Vol Nugs today, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no.
What's Geraldo Vol saying?
Vol Nugs?
I saw Geraldo. You want an update real quick?
Yeah. Let's go.
This should be good. Hold on. They had a whole thread dedicated to you. Where is it? Yeah, because they wanted me to tell you. Oh, God. What was it? I think the phrase was get fucked.
That's not very nice.
Well, no, I told you they aren't nice over there.
Does this mean they don't love me anymore?
No, huh?
Why, if Volnugs didn't love me, I don't know what I would do. I could bear it.
Russell, what's the, Russell Smith reporting.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Someone called Variety to confirm. Russell doesn't know shit. I am now a candidate to commit suicide.
Oh, no.
Sounds pretty problematic.
This is.
I assume he talks to his co-host, in all caps, Trey Wallace. Where the Tony Elliott thing from this morning is where they really got rolling on you.
It's so funny because I did not. I mean, I never. I just said all. Literally, what the tweet was: he is an intriguing candidate, and everybody's like, "Oh, fuck you! He sucks."
Bear, did they not get the message to tweet a or text a buddy not to put it out there on the internet?
What's that? Those guys?
Just anything, yeah.
I'll tell you, just like I've tried to tell Russell, and he doesn't. You don't want to fuck with those guys.
We got to be positive. We got to listen to Danny. You know.
Just text your friend. Don't.
Those guys are hardcore over there.
Don't put it on Twitter. Just text a buddy. Right.
I mean, these are the. We started off as Vol's bitch.
Maybe that's what Vol Twitter needs. To get rid of the toxicity is instead of being on Twitter, they just get every member of Vol Twitter, all 5,000 or whatever the number is up to now, and just start a just huge group text. And we could just text each other all this toxic shit, and then our dirty laundry is not out there in public for all to see.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
It's not the worst idea, right?
No, I mean, it's. You know, the only bad idea I've ever heard out of you is, you know, we don't have to go into it again. You know where I stand on it now. the current head coach at Minnesota.
Won 11 games at Minnesota, man. Mm-hmm. Won 11 games at Western Michigan. Went to the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Four coaches won 12 games. Went 12-0 at group of five schools last 20 years. The other three are Chris Peterson, Urban Meyer, and Brian Kelly. Just saying. Three guys that went to the college football playoff. I don't know. What do I know? I just want to win.
Ah, here it is. Media already tempering expectations. And it's a screenshot of your tweet.
How can you not temper expectations?
The first or the second post was, fuck you, Russell.
I mean, it's a good point, I got to say. How can you – seriously, how can we not temper expectations? Is there anybody out there that honestly thinks that Chris Peterson is walking through that door, or Bob Stoops?
Yeah, Bob Stoops. Oh, this is a great one. One of the users posted that you were right, and then immediately another poster posted, Russell comes off like a real bitch, and the way he talks down the callers is annoying.
You did tell Jay to shut the fuck up. Or...
I think I confronted him direct head on.
Yeah, then here's one that says, hey, Bear, tell Ray, because they know I'm, you know, hidden on there, embedded.
So now you're the conduit for Vol Nugs to me.
I told you a long time ago, I was around on the old main board when all these guys, I wasn't one of them, but I followed them because I find them hilarious. These guys all got exiled off the original main board and then back.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about right
there
now.
It's like message board, football, the original football message board. And then they all got a bunch of them got IP banned from VolQuest.
Okay, what's the message? What did they want you to tell me?
Oh, quit peddling for coordinators.
I'm peddling for PJ fucking Fleck, and I'm not going to stop. Y'all are just going to have to deal with it. He's going to be your football coach. I'm speaking it into existence, and you will all kneel down and row the fucking boat. Get with the program.
Here's another good one.
Alabama. Russell. Front runners.
Spelled Russell as in, like, you know, your Jimmies are rustled. Russell Smith is funny and entertaining, but not who you should be getting your sports hot takes from. That guy can go to fucking hell. You know your stuff. I'll back you on that one.
Thank you.
I'm not going to read that one. That dipshit got, it's the one who got, AJ Johnson in trouble for the cock and the gun thing. They did like your bit with that'd be hilarious if you do it again. When Jeremy told the old lady that they weren't getting the buyout. That was really popular.
What?
I think it was during one of your shows during the drive.
You imitated the conversation Gump had with his wife about the buyout.
Why do I not remember this?
Because it's been a long fucking week.
I think I...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, I remember. Yeah.
What do you mean you didn't get the fire?
That's my naggy wife voice. I always felt, you know, why all women have, like, the stupid husband voice, you know? And then you were like... They all do that, right? Why, I think, guys, we should have the naggy wife voice. That's what they all sound like.
Why did you take out the trash?
That's what Jeremy Pruitt's naggy wife sounds like when he told her that he didn't get the buyout.
Mine said, I would describe it more like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I don't hear it.
It's like, God, I can't just get a couple of hours of peace to myself. I just got fired from my SEC coaching job, got the NCAA, and now I got to deal with this shit at home too. You can't leave me alone for 2 minutes.
If I never hear "I" again in my life, I'll be happy. Fucking saving that motherfucker, rat poison. So who was it? I completely missed it. Was it White or Plowman that came out and put the kibosh on Freeze and Kiffin? Like, when did that go down?
But they both, like, plow. Plowman said integrity like 5 billion times during her press, the first one with Fulmer up there. And then Danny White basically said, yeah, integrity. And yeah, whatever.
I mean, call me crazy, but I wasn't taking Plowman seriously since she was sitting next to Philip fucking Fulmer. She's talking about goddamn integrity.
I know she didn't mention him yesterday.
No.
Friday. There's none of that anymore.
You know, looked like he was, you know, wearing Big Dan McCullough's suit jacket over his sweatsuit. Golly.
I think Davey wants us to shut the hell up so we can go home, Bear.
I figured he still need to sober up so he could drive. You drunk tonight, Dave?
No, I didn't drink any tonight. I, former sponsor.
Hey, I wanted to give you a shout out, man. That bit you did the other day about the trying to guess the coaches.
Oh, yeah.
The anonymous coaches.
Yeah.
That was
literally my first thing that came to my mind. But no, former sponsor of the program, NutriShop, they're doing their yearly New Year, New Me challenge. And so I've entered that. We'll see what I can do here. But I've decided to tone down a little bit on the drinking. So sorry if I disappoint anyone with that. I'll pick it back up in the summer once I can hang out on the lake.
All right.
Attaboy, Dave. Attaboy.
Russ, you have a good evening.
All right.
I was ready for bed when we started. You pissed me off so bad that I'm probably going to sit up grinding my teeth. I hate watching, row your boat press conferences now.
Row, row, row your boat.
So you would not like it if people just kept sending you videos of PJ Flex press conferences?
I mean, you just get blocked.
Yeah.
I've got Jay Smart 20 on Twitter. Take it from someone who is hated over there. Volnugs is a dangerous. They are a dangerous place. I'm trying to tell you, Russ.
They're these like guys are dangerous. Fucking,
they're nuts.
Are they like the don't fuck with cats people? I don't know if you guys saw that.
Oh yeah, that was a great.
Yeah, Russ is real into that. No, they're more like the. They take it. They're always at 11, man. They don't fuck around. I mean, I told you these guys have been IP. They got IP banned from VolQuest. That's how it started.
How do you do that?
You fucking
get on there like talk trash to hubs or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I mean, one of these guys. I mean, they are professionals. Like, you think you're good at rolling people up, getting people pissed off? I mean, one of these guys had, what's that guy's name? He's one of those news people on tonight. Chris Hayes from MSNBC. There's a guy on the Volnex board that got that guy so rolled up on Twitter that Chris Hayes fucker challenged him to a tennis match.
What?
Yes. These guys are masters at rolling people up. I mean,
why is that the thing? Like, I'm so mad at you, I'm going to challenge you to a tennis match.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I don't understand.
These guys are legendary.
Like, let's
legendary
fight
assholes.
I'll just like cuss your mom or like challenge you to a fight or something. I'm going to kill you. Like, Oh yeah. Well, let's play tennis.
The greatest story, one of them, somebody in a fit of stupidity gave one of these guys, and he's no longer with us, God rest his soul, Derek Dooley's personal cell number when he was our coach.
Yeah.
24 hours later, the FBI was at his house. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not bullshitting.
You get yourself in some trouble in that internet thing, man. That dang old internet.
So yeah, enter at your own risk over there. They're the not fucking around crew. So anyhow, great show, boys. Love hanging out with you on Saturday night, Russell. I'm sorry I called you a fucking asshole.
No, you're not.
No, I'm really not. But
it's okay though.
What happened to that blueberry pie your wife made me?
Did you eat it, man? Oh yeah. You think happened to it. Put a hurting on it. Some ice cream, a little vanilla ice cream. They take out a pot, stick it in the microwave for 15 seconds.
I mean, Russ, you sent a picture of that pie to me. I was going to set it up when I was going to come by and grab it.
Are you kidding? Fuck. Sorry.
What happened?
The fight.
Is it over?
Yeah, apparently.
Who won?
Trying to knock him out.
Nope, other way around.
Really?
I knew I should have turned that thing off.
Yeah. Connor done, man. He's done.
Stick That's a young foot. Man's game. He's old now.
It's fun. That UFC stuff, man. Like you, it's like a pitcher in baseball. Like you'll just be cruising around, just killing dudes, and then you get your bell rung once, knocked out once. It's over, man. And like boxing too, you know. You lose it. Tyson was never the same after Buster Douglas put him down. Pacquiao, when he got put to sleep a couple of years ago, just like never the same guy. Those UFC, like freaking Anderson Silva, such a badass for years. Then he broke his leg and he's not, never the same guy. All those heavyweights that were champions for so long, all, you know, they lose once and they're just donezo. All right, guys, we're donezo. That's it. Conor McGregor took a nap. Dustin Poirier, I guess he'll fight Khabib now. Davey, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, guys, glad able to do it again. Probably be back in here soon. So, as always, enjoy the show.
Love you, Bear.
Love you too, bro.
Have a great Sunday, folks. We will be with you.
I'm texting Trey right now.
Monday morning, Davey and the boys started off early at 7 a.m. Bear and I will talk to you at 3. Have a great rest of the weekend. We'll talk soon.